at a time.
I have come to the conclusion that there is no viable path forward for me in this 2012 campaign. Therefore, today, I am suspending my campaign and endorsing Newt Gingrich for President of the United States.
Crunch time in politics and sports. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're broadcasting from Washington, D.C. You just heard the voice of Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. He bowed out of the race. But that wasn't all that happened today. Marianne Gingrich, Newt Gingrich's second wife, talked to ABC's Brian Ross. Take a listen.
I said to him, Newt, we've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage?
Yeah, that I accept the fact that he has somebody else in his life.
And you said?
No. No. That is not a marriage.
Then, out of the gate at the Republican debate in South Carolina, the second one, just days away from that primary, here's John King, who is a moderator on CNN, questioning Newt right in the very beginning, and Newt's reaction.
To take an ex-wife and make it 2 days before the primary, a significant question in a presidential campaign, is as close to despicable as anything I can imagine.
So the crowd went crazy for that one. We'll be talking about it later this hour, plus why I'm in D.C., breaking down everything that happened in that debate as the field really narrows. Because on the stage, interesting, you used to have, eight at one point, and then, of course, there was so much speculation as to who was in and who was out and what was going to happen. Now two lost in South Carolina, John Huntsman and Rick Perry. So it is definitely narrowed to four. I mean, who's to say somebody still couldn't make a charge at the last minute? You know, the thought was that maybe a Jeb Bush or somebody like that, but he kept saying that he wanted no parts of it at this point. But, you know, who's to say, never say, you know, never say never. You don't know after watching what's been happening during the day, just pure fireworks. And so the question is actually, to me, a couple of things. One, does this rule Newt Gingrich out in some people's mind? I would think some women, especially with the open marriage question. Now, Newt diffused it and said it's not true. It's not true whatsoever. You can talk to my daughter. You can talk to other people who knew me during that time period. And the ex-wife, who gave the interview to ABC and was married to Newt Gingrich for 18 years, called ABC after Newt had that to say and said, no, I'm sticking by what I said. I did not make any of this up. So that became part of the debate, I think, during the day, once the story was broken wide open. And how many of you would rule out a candidate for their personal lives, whether it's marriages, other indiscretions, that kind of thing, especially this strangeness of what happened with Marianne Gingrich. And also a lot of people are questioning the timing of it, too, as well. Make sure you throw in your 2 cents on this and some of the other things we're going to be talking about. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. As I said, I'm going to tell you why I was in D.C. I'm in D.C. to actually get more of the scoop on healthcare as it stands now. If it were to stand as it is, the Affordable Health Care Act, versus a Republican gets in and they work to try to repeal that, or someone on the Hill try to repeal it, it's not likely. You know, there's two challenges, of course, before the Supreme Court, one to Medicaid and one that would affect Medicaid and one that would affect the individual mandate. And that really is the biggie, and that's expected to be handed down in June. But I'm, as I said, in D.C. to to get a handle on what we're dealing with now and how it's being implemented and what are the pitfalls and what people don't understand and that kind of stuff. So throughout the next couple of hours here on the show, we'll also weave that in. Along with, don't forget, we've got Nail the Score. Nail the Score now down to four teams. We've got four teams left. And of those four teams, two of them are going to end up being in the Super Bowl. Will it be Baltimore? Will it be San Francisco? Will it be the New York Giants? Will it be New England? The even money says it's going to be New England and the Giants, a rematch of 2007 when the Giants beat the Patriots. But who knows? For our purposes for Nail the Score, you don't care about that. What you care about is nailing the score. So in our third hour, when one of those two games is chosen, the AFC or the NFC Championship game, if you call us and you pick a team, you don't have to know anything about football, you pick a team and give us your scoring guess. If you're right, you're going to win bragging rights and our prize package that includes a Magellan GPS wireless. I mean, this baby is souped up. I'm telling you, it is fully loaded. There is no way you're crashing into the tree at the side of the road because you kept driving with the GPS that told you to keep doing so. It is an incredible little machine, I'm telling you. Especially love the idea that it's wireless, because you know how the wires are hanging down and all that stuff that you had to deal with before with the GPS. You don't have to deal with that with this GPS. Like something else also that's coming up that we're going to talk about is this craziness. And many of you have sent me emails on this craziness with this Italian ship, really Carnival cruise ship, that went down in Italy that still is on its side. It's so eerie to look at it. It almost doesn't look real. I know I said that on a previous show. And 21 people are still missing as a result of this idiot captain who calmly was having dinner with a pretty girl who was a hostess on the ship while all of this stuff was happening. And they even recorded him where they're telling him at the port authority there, to get back on the boat at one point to help the people who were there. So the captain is ordering dinners while it almost looks like the Titanic with this Italian boat loaded, by the way, with American people and people from other countries who were in the very beginning of the small voyage, and he wanted to get closer to shore. I mean, nothing but nonsense is coming out of this. And the sad thing is, upon further review and digging into this, there's not much recourse for the people who were on that ship, certainly not monetarily, as much as you would think, because of all the waivers and things ultimately that they sign when they get on these ships, and with maritime laws being different in different countries. This is going to be a really tough challenge. I think it will be challenged, but I think that there's going to be problems in the courtroom with it. And so it's not such a layup as you would think, although money certainly is not going to help the people who had to survive that thing and the people who lost people in the capsizing of that boat. It's just so eerie and creepy. And just the looking like the Titanic, like I said, very strange thing. It makes you really, I think, not want to take a cruise. Are we going to cruise out for a second? I'm going to be back with more here on America Tonight.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Let's go! Down the street with the people way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, it's a bullet sprint. The sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one goes.
And we're back on America Tonight. Another one bites the dust can apply to a lot of different things that we've seen happen, especially explode when it comes to the Republicans. A big day in South Carolina, the second debate before the primary, and the primary takes on more significance, too, because something else also happened during the day. Rick Santorum got some great news when he found out that he had won Iowa. So remember, before it was announced that Mitt Romney had taken Iowa, the caucuses, by 8 votes. But now there was a reversal with all the votes counted on second thought. It was Rick Santorum who gets those delegates. And he had 25 more votes than Mitt Romney. 25 more votes. So he was elated to hear the news, which means if you wanted to look at the beginnings of this primary season, and you count the caucus, so Santorum gets Iowa in the end. But Romney really got the bounce from that because he was considered to win the two first ones, and New Hampshire was a layup for him. So you go from those two into South Carolina, and South Carolina now couldn't be, in one sense of the word, a little more wide open, if you want to count it 1-1 and who wins this one. So the debate took on an interesting tone, I think. There were a lot of fireworks, and there were some lashing out, I think, among the candidates, because, as I mentioned at the top, whittled down to 4, a lot of sniping back and forth between everybody on the stage. And, you know, it's interesting because how much of what has happened in the last really month and a half affects any of the people who it's now been boiled down to. I got a note from my cousin, and many of you will relate to this. He's 34 years old, and he wrote me a note. He's got 3 daughters. He's married, And he said, if it's Ron Paul, I'm voting Republican. If it's Mitt Romney, I'm voting Obama. And he's that adamant that it can't be Mitt Romney. So we're back to the same thing. Anybody but Mitt for lots of people, and there are a lot of people that really, really would like to see Ron Paul have a shot at this. And Ron Paul, while he doesn't get any of that respect from the establishment of the Republican side of things, and many of you have called the show to say, how is that possible that if he's getting attention, if he's attracting the youth vote, why is he written off? Why are people calling him a kook? Why are people not looking at some of the serious things that he's saying that make sense? And the answer to that is that he's not part of the club. He's not part of the 19th hole, if you will. And I guess that's it, that he veers off in a different direction, a libertarian direction, which is not in line with the party politics. But could the people ultimately push Ron Paul, a guy like Ron Paul, to the victory? And I think if he were to win enough primaries, that could certainly change the face of this. But is Mitt Romney, is his campaign damaged? Is he still the establishment guy no matter what? Especially Perry dumping out and then throwing his weight to Newt Gingrich. Man, nothing but questions. I'm telling you, this is better than The Bachelor any day of the week, watching this reality show. But it's a reality show that so many of us care about. And I mentioned this already, and the reason that I'm in D.C. is to take a look at where we are in healthcare, because what happens if we stay the course and we continue with the current healthcare law that we have in place? What does that ultimately mean for you and me? What does it mean for our healthcare as certain things start to kick in with healthcare? I mean, what does it mean for us down the line? What will happen? What will be different for you if you're single, or if you're married, or if you have children? You know, ultimately, we want to know what the end game is here. So I had a conversation with Dee Mahan, who is a board member for Families USA. We talked about a couple of interesting things, including ultimately what would happen. You know, you look at businesses and what would happen, what would we be able to do? How would we be able to look at plans, and how could that change things financially for some of us? Take a listen to a little snippet of that conversation.
One of the things that's happening right now that is unfortunate is that, you know, not everything on the Affordable Care Act and not some of the biggest provisions have come into place yet. That won't happen until 2014. So a lot of people who are maybe having trouble getting health insurance coverage now or having some, you know, difficulty finding a plan or seeing rate increases in their plan are thinking that that's because of the Affordable Care Act, and it's not. So in 2014, there should be a lot more insurance options for people. And one of the things that I think people are really going to appreciate is that there will be a lot more transparency, making it easier to compare plans. And I think that's going to really make a difference. And insurance companies are going to have to provide people with plan descriptions that, surprise, they can actually understand. So that's going to be great.
Right. See, and I think that's what it is. Like I said, everybody's so busy. Somebody has a parent that gets ill.
Right.
They run to Florida or another state or wherever they have to go because we all, well, not all of us, but so many of us live in different areas. And it's your parent, and you're so concerned, and you can't break through the craziness of understanding what it is that's covered, not covered,
right,
and what all that is.
Yeah.
So you're saying that one of the beauties is we'll get like Cliff Notes version.
That's right. You should get some understandable information, because right now you get things from your insurance plan describing the plan, and you go, I work in healthcare, and I say, I can't read this. So I really cannot imagine how people who don't work in healthcare respond when they get that, when I'm just rolling my eyes and saying, oh, please. So things should be a lot more understandable and, like I said, easier to compare plans.
Well, that's good, because right now we could use that GPS to somehow maneuver around the plans that we all have. Because half the time I have no idea what's covered and what's not covered. One thing I know that we are going to cover a lot of in this show is the debates and what you thought of the debates. Who do you think ultimately won the debate? Who made some great points? Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Tomas, I'm sure that you watched the debates. What did you think?
Actually, I'm in D.C. now.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am, man. I'm in Rockville, Maryland right now.
Wow.
Yeah, got some family business to take care of, so that's a little change in my GPS right there. I thought the debate was pretty awesome with just four people there. But it was funny that when they started talking about Medicare and they had a doctor on there, they wouldn't let the doctor talk. And then when they started talking about abortion, they had a doctor on there. They wouldn't let the doctor talk until the people started screaming, "Let Paul talk." Did you see that?
I did, and he kept saying that, too. He kept saying, "I'm the doctor," and he brought up some good points, some things that we've talked about that we're all concerned about that's never part of this, is all the primary physicians that are bailing, that are getting out of the game because they can't afford to stay in it, and a whole bunch of other things that doctors know.
Yeah, and for those people who didn't watch the debate, I'd say you could say, summarizing the debate, Santorum came out as the one ideologically pure as far as conservatism. He
yep.
planned himself definitely on the right, and he kept criticizing Gingrich, which I seemed to me a little bit immature the way he kept, you know, harping on Gingrich this, and Gingrich would always come back with a good comeback because he was there with Reagan and he balanced the budget and all that. So that's what he was doing, and Gingrich, of course, was the one that was showing the intellectual side. He was really
yeah.
just looking really far ahead, and then Mitt just seemed like he was counterpunching. You know, he'd say, "Yeah, well, I agree with you," and then, "Oh, you're right about that," but I don't see where Mitt came out and on his own and established anything that was his own there. And
I agree with you, and I think Ron Paul came off pretty strong because he kept saying, listen, and he went right to the point of what he would do if he were president, things that needed to happen. He just cut through, I think, a lot of the chatter. Tomas, safe travels, and thanks for calling us. Light the phone lines up. We'll be back with more.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you don't want to be unprepared, BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness. Why do they lead? Because of best value, best selection, and their low price guarantee. Take advantage of BePrepared.com's inventory reduction sale going on right now. Save up to 43% on food storage and emergency supplies. Up to 43%. For example, Be Prepared with freeze-dried peaches and strawberries, freeze-dried roast beef, 180
82-piece first aid kits, 9-meal MRE kits, a waterproof multifunction emergency LED flashlight for only $3.99, and much more. BePrepared.com. While supplies last. But hurry, sale ends when inventory's gone. Call 800-999-1863. That's 800-999-1863. Or online at BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com. Best value, best selection, and low price guarantee. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Surface here in the Tower of America tonight. Kate Delaney broadcasting from Washington, D.C. If you want to throw in your kitchen, like Tomas did on the debates in South Carolina, please do so. 800-259-5791. Those are the digits. You all know them. A couple of questions. One, it's a softball question, but it's one that the nation was talking about today. Did his second wife, Marianne Gingrich's details, or at least some of the details that you talked to ABC's Brian Ross about, affect your view of Newt Gingrich? Do you think it's creepy? Do you care? Are you just beyond all that? Honestly, I don't think the people of South Carolina seem to care too much. Their primary is coming up, and I saw a lot of people that did some interviews, man-on-the-street type interviews, and it didn't seem that that rattled too many people. A couple of the women they interviewed, but overall, I didn't get the sense that anybody was thinking about not going Newt's way because of what the ex-wife said on this snippet on Nightly News. On the, you know, on the, not on the Nightly News, on the, they did show it on the Nightly News, but on the late night news that they do on ABC. But, and all day long, of course, they were teasing and everybody was talking about it. And there were questions about, oh, the network deciding whether they should air it or not. Well, that's ridiculous, because if they had the interview, they should air it. And, of course, they're going to tease everyone with it. They're going to play it up. And the name of the game is to get ratings. So that's why that happened. But who cares about all that? It's more about character. And does that, you know, what happened with Newt and his ex-wives, does that affect your opinion? Now, we've talked about this before. This is just another wrinkle in the story because of the, I think the big thing that she said was the open marriage. That he wanted a divorce, and but then he wanted an open marriage, and the woman that he was fooling around with is now the woman, of course, that he's he's married to. An interesting side note, we're going to go to some health care thoughts that went on during the debate, some of the things that were said. But before we do that, the question of taxes keeps coming up, releasing the taxes so people know what these candidates made. And let's face it, you know, we're talking about the 99% versus the 1% and the middle class and taxes and all that sort of stuff. I think it's become a curiosity factor more than anything else, but certainly for the Democrats, this can be something they'll be able to nail in the coffin, or they'll try to, some of the Republicans. Well, Newt Gingrich released his tax information. He did it pretty much while he was on the stage so that it was already out there on the website. He paid $994,000 in taxes in 2010, and that was on income of just over $3 million. And, of course, the push was for Mitt Romney to release his tax information. He was prodded by the moderator, John King, about it, saying that his father released 12 years of tax information when he ran in the 60s for office. And, you know, would he be doing that? And how many years would he release and all that sort of stuff? And Romney just kind of danced around the question and said that he would do it in April when he did his taxes, but that was more ammunition. That was more that you could use against a Republican candidate. Look, how much money do we think, if Newt Gingrich made over $3 million, how much money do you think Mitt Romney made? You could probably multiply that by 10, perhaps. Let's go to Dale in Illinois. Hey, Dale.
As I said sometime before, Newt Gingrich was my candidate, but, you know, I'm reminded of the 1988 vice presidential debate, and it was Lloyd Benson and Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle quoted Jack Kennedy, and Lloyd Benson said, well, you're not, you know, Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine, and you're no Jack Kennedy. And I thought to myself, okay, Dan, there's your opening to let him have it. But he didn't. But I wish he would have said, you know, Lloyd, I'm thinking about this. You know, I didn't take Air Force One with my brother and fly out to Hollywood and bang the socks off of Marilyn Monroe with the mob in tow. No, you know, you're right. I'm no Jack Kennedy. And that's what we're going through now with Newt. You know, Newt Gingrich can't be controlled by the Eastern establishment. He's got some pretty good ideas, but we'll never see him because they've, as I said a couple weeks ago, they've already determined who this candidate's going to be.
Uh-huh.
He's got certainly some issues. I'll say I'm not happy about his marriage deal, but what they did to him today is uncalled for, unprofessional, and certainly unworthy of the news media. But we ought to get used to it because that's what they do, and I'm really tired of it.
You know what? That's really, Dale, what I heard from a lot of people on the ground in D.C., that it's just the same old thing, that it's the outrage of the moment, it's the controversy, it's the somebody stepping into the middle of it, something that was exaggerated or was a half-truth or an innuendo or whatever it might be, regardless, no. That it is interesting. It's interesting that it came out then.
Yeah, I think what the Eastern establishment, the Goldman Sachs people have understood, they can't control Newt. They can't do anything about it. You know, he's not the Harvard. He's not the Princeton. Oh, and by the way, Mr. President, go back to Harvard and get your money back. You didn't learn a damn thing when you were up there. So, you know, that's what we're faced with, and it's really unfortunate. I wish that we could talk about issues in this campaign and potential solutions to the problems we have. But we're not there yet, and I don't know that we're ever going to get there. We're going to hear this crap all the way through to November this year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dale. Good call. Thanks, Dale. I think we're going to hear that all the way through to November, absolutely, because if it's Mitt Romney, which Dale is alluding to, that's the candidate that has sort of been already preordained, which is ridiculous. This is why there's another thing that I'm going to talk about in the upcoming weeks here in America Tonight. This is why I'm for the popular vote and trying to make that happen, because if you really dig into what the popular vote would be, there'd be a better chance to have a fair shot at the people electing the president instead of having these preordained people put in front of them, and that's it. And it just feels like that. I mean, it is. This is what has been predetermined with Mitt Romney. There's no question about it. Think about the last time when you ran, and kids think about what happened there. And, you know, ultimately, is this the guy? Why are so many people saying anybody but Romney? And this is what you're getting. So you're getting the sizzler steak, no offense, versus getting the really good piece of filet mignon that you want. I mean, ultimately, from this show and from other shows that I've heard, it's pretty clear that most Republicans, although that's not what some of these polls are showing, really are not that excited about Mitt Romney. And on the stage, I think Tomas said it best. I mean, it was a fascinating debate. I watched it from end to end, and it did suck you in. It really did, in listening to it, because I think that there were some things that did come up where all four of them were trying to really address some specifics, although Mitt Romney was just focused on the going after Obama. I mean, pretty much that was it for him. All right, I said I was going to let you hear a little snippet of what they had to talk about as far as some of the health questions that were pinged around, including Ron Paul, who talked about Medicare, and of course we know the big hassle with that and what's happening there, and then also Newt Gingrich, who had a health care offer, and then Rick Santorum with a little sarcasm. Take a listen.
This program should have never started, but a lot of people are dependent on it. I want to try to protect the people who are dependent on medical care. Now, where does the money come? My suggestion is look at some of the overseas spending that we don't need to be doing.
I have an offer to the parents of America. Elect us, and your kids will be able to move out because they'll have work.
I've been fighting for health reform, private sector, bottom up, the way America works best, for 20 years. Well, these two guys were playing footsies with the left.
Yeah, so there you go. And that was a little chunk of what the debate had to do with. And healthcare is the reason that I'm in D.C. because, folks, honestly, the way it's looking now, if it were to be another 4 years of Barack Obama, by then all of these affordable health care, all these increments, all these things will come into play other than the challenges before the Supreme Court. So it might be that some of that is picked away, like the individual mandate forcing everybody to have health care. That's one of the big ones. That, to me, that's the biggest one that's in front of the Supreme Court. Ultimately, what do they decide there? Otherwise, this thing will be pursed out all the way through 2014, and it affects all of us, meaning that you'll be shopping around for health care, because I think it's going to happen with a lot of employers. In fact, I know that 80% of the employers, what they will do is leave health care up to you. They will hand the money, hopefully, if you're lucky, they'll include that in a hiring package that here's what we estimate your health care will be. Go out and get it, because we're not dealing with health care in the workplace anymore. Most likely, that's what most people will face. We'll talk more about that in our upcoming hours, too, more about the debate and whatnot. However, coming up around the bend, a conversation with Dr. Janet Woodcock from the FDA on prescription drugs and the like. Stick with us.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze, Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We are in D.C., and of course, we're talking about health care and all the issues related to it. We're at the latest forum. It's great. Health Action 2012 is the official name, we'll call it. It's really awesome because it's a hodgepodge of people from all different walks of life that are involved in this and all different levels of informing you about what's going on healthcare-wise, things that you would be interested in knowing, like prescription drugs. So we have Dr. Janet Woodcock with us, and she's got a long title. Everybody has a long title in D.C. and outside of D.C., right? It's Director for Drug Evaluation and Research for the FDA. Doctor, we're pleased to have you on the show. I was very excited when I got the note maybe a month ago that I was going to get a chance to talk to you. So thanks for stopping by our little corner of the world here in D.C. We appreciate it.
That's great.
My first question is, because you spent so much of your life researching this, looking into drugs, all that sort of thing, does it scare you to see what's happening in the prescription drug world right now, the abuses and the amount of prescription drugs that are being prescribed to people for all kinds of things where maybe they don't necessarily need it?
Well, I think that, as has always been the case, drugs are both overused and underused in the United States. We know that a lot of people with chronic conditions like hypertension and high cholesterol are not getting the treatment that would prevent them from getting heart attacks or strokes or even dying. On the other hand, we have an epidemic of prescription drug abuse in the United States, particularly opioids and narcotic drugs. And a lot of people are dying from that misuse or overuse of those drugs.
Yeah, speaking of misuse, I was talking to a pharmacist a couple of months ago, and she told me that she'd have people coming in with weird effects for things they were taking because they didn't realize they were mixing certain things, even mixing a simple aspirin, a Tylenol, with some other prescription drug they were taking. How do we solve that riddle?
Well, people really have to help by protecting themselves, all right? That taking multiple drugs is called polypharmacy. And we know if you take more than a few drugs, they're going to interact with each other. It's going to be almost inevitable. And so people really have to read the labels. They have to tell their doctors what they're taking, even dietary supplements, even over-the-counter drugs. Particularly, say something like acetaminophen, all right, or people call it Tylenol, all right. That drug, it appears in many different forms, prescription painkillers, over-the-counter medicines, and so forth. If you take multiple forms of that drug, it can severely damage your liver, perhaps even in a fatal manner, even though if it's taken correctly, it's extremely safe. So patients have a role. And consumers in protecting themselves. And if they're taking multiple drugs, they really need to talk to a pharmacist, their physician, and make sure that they're not going to suffer severe interactions.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you're seeing on the research side that would be, you know, we have a wide swath of an audience here. We have young people, and then we have people that are on the older end of the spectrum. What are we seeing that's exciting? For example, cancer treatments. Everybody keeps asking that. You know, somebody sarcastically said to me the other day, oh, well, cancer is a big business, so of course, why would you cure cancer? The person who cures it gets the Nobel Prize, but then all the other money dries up for people who are making a living on this. I choose to be optimistic, and I don't believe that. But what are we seeing in the drug world with cancer?
What we're seeing is the science that's been invested in over the past 40 years by this country, the molecular science, the genomic science, is paying off in new treatments. It used to be that cancer treatments were basically poisons, and you tried to poison a tumor more than you poisoned the rest of the person. And people had severe side effects. And cancers, very few of them are cured. But, of course, the goal is to go to cure of cancer. But what we're seeing is targeted therapy that goes after the tumor in a unique way, all right, and tries to kill the tumor cells without affecting the normal body cells or having such a serious effect. So these new cancer treatments are much more effective for these cancers that have not been curable or treatable. And so that's really good news for people, some of whom are young people, who are getting these cancers, melanomas, adult leukemia, and so forth. So it isn't just a disease of older people. So I think there's a bright news on the horizon for people with cancer.
Yeah. The funding for the FDA and for specifically what you do, if someone says, well, where does the budget go to? Where are the researchers? How many people are involved? What kind of things can you tell us about that? Because that's what this audience will want to know.
Well, the Center for Drugs that regulates the prescription drugs, the over-the-counter drugs, and all the generic drugs, all right, we have about 3,500 people, mostly physicians and scientists. We don't do the research. We evaluate most of the research. And about 60% of the program is funded by user fees that the pharmaceutical industry pays so that we have enough resources to review their drugs and regulate their drugs. And we have a very specialized workforce, as I said, PhD-level scientists and physicians with very subspecialty training that do this work.
In all your years of doing this, I mean, obviously there's got to be a few things. You have the degrees, you have the accolades, certainly. But for you personally, why are you in this game versus something else you could take that, let's frankly, would pay you more money? Why are you doing this?
I think people should do a job where it's worth getting up in the morning and coming to work because you know you're making a difference. And I think almost everyone at the Center for Drugs could make more money in the private sector and is there because they know they're making a difference for the public and the citizens of this country.
Do you feel, you know, you're the safeguard, and when you see things that get through, that has to make your stomach turn when you have the situation with Vioxx, for example, and when you start to see deaths occur because things weren't uncovered or that kind of thing, does that just make you dig deeper or look in certain directions to try to prevent that kind of stuff?
Well, we have set up more extensive safety systems in the last few years. Congress gave us more authority and more money, and so we can be more effective on the post-market safety side. And we're confident that we can catch problems earlier. But we don't have a crystal ball, and we can't predict everything that's going to happen to a drug once it gets on the market. So it's always, there's always some uncertainty about what a drug is going to do once it's out there.
What are the certain levels? Because, of course, it's always about, oh, FDA approval. I have to get FDA approval. Are there pretty rigorous? I've looked into this before, and it looks to me like there are a lot of safeguards, even though, again, sarcastically, people say, well, how could that get through it? I don't understand. But there are. So what are the levels to getting a drug? Let's say I'm the one who creates the drug. I go through my clinical trials. From the time I do that to the time it might get approved, how long are we talking, or is it not a question of length?
It is. It's maybe in the human testing, it's 7 to 11 years before you get on the market. And it might be up to $1 billion worth of research investment in the clinical. Of compounds that are screened by drug companies, only maybe 1 in 10,000 makes it. And of compounds that are tested in people, about 1 in 10 actually make it on the market. So there's a tremendous number of winnowing out and of standards that have to be met all the way along. And even with all that investment and all that winnowing out, we still find that drugs do have intrinsic harm that they cause as well as benefit.
Is that partially because there is no way you can duplicate everybody's system? All our systems are different and operate differently?
That's part of it. And with personalized medicine, we're getting better at avoiding treating people who are at very high risk from the drug, identifying them and screening them out, and also targeting people who will benefit. And so targeted therapy, we hope, is the future, which will result in more effective drugs that are safer, because they take that human variation into account.
Yeah. What would you like to know, what the audience to know about maybe a misconception that they don't understand about the FDA, just in general? And then everybody has a different role, and of course there are many different pockets in the FDA.
Right.
You're one. But what would be the one misconception that maybe sometimes you hear on talk radio or somewhere else that you say, oh man, that's wrong?
Well, I think the idea, people have the idea that FDA has a single standard for drug approval, and some people think it's too strict and some people think it's too loose, all right? But in fact, we have different levels of standards. For example, if you have cancer, untreatable cancer, our standard for getting you a drug to you, a new drug, a new option, is pretty low, all right? Because for you, those potential benefits are going to outweigh the risks. But for a new headache medicine, we're going to have really rigid, strict safety standards because there are already headache medicines that are available for people. Yeah. So we have kind of a sliding scale, and I don't think people understand that on either side of the argument.
You cleared it up. One last question for fun. What does Dr. Woodcock do for fun? Do you go to the movies? Do you ever chillax, as we say?
Well, I have to have a lot of energy for my job, so I work out a lot, and I garden, and I raise orchids, and I do all sorts of things on the inside. Yeah.
Orchids.
Yeah.
Orchids are delicate. They're tough to raise. I've killed, I know, at least 20 in my lifetime.
I can't tell you how many people have told me that.
Dr. Woodcock, you've been a delight. Thank you so much for stopping by America Tonight.
Thank you.